Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Hit the Road, Montana Story, and Cordelia. Hi, David. Over to you.
Well, Jill, thank you very much for that lovely introduction, which you give me every week. And we got three films today, as we often do. And these are very, very different kinds of films, although the first two have in common that they are somewhat quiet, subdued movies, but all three are worth seeing in their own ways. So let's begin with Hit the Road. Despite its very vernacular-sounding title, Hit the Road is actually a movie from Iran. And there's a very interesting little bit of information about that, because as I hope that many of our listeners know, Iran started back really in the 80s to have just a fabulous wave of superb movie making. We think of often in America, we're hit with all kinds of propaganda about what a bad place Iran is, and I'm sure it is in some ways. But oh my golly, they have just made such wonderful, wonderful, wonderful movies, despite the problems of censorship and government intervention and stuff like that. And you know, the wave is still going on after all these years. Good, worthwhile, better than good and worthwhile movies are still coming out of Iran. So Hit the Road is the first movie written and directed by Pana Panahi. Now, to tie this in with what I was just saying, Pana Panahi is the son of Jafar Panahi, who is one of the great Iranian filmmakers, one of the truly greats, one of the just absolutely maybe top three or four of them in this whole new wave of Iranian cinema that's been going on for a few decades now. Jafar Panahi, yep, he sure did get in trouble with the government. He was putting things in his movies that they didn't like, and before you know it, they were forbidding him to leave the country, forbidding him to go to film festivals, forbidding him even to make movies, despite the fact that he was an award-winning, really major art film director who was bringing all kinds of prestige to the country. So anyway, in recent years, he's continued to make movies even though he's not allowed to. One of them, quite marvelously, is called This Is Not a Film. He made that back in 2011. And it's basically a documentary. It's about his predicament. And he's been making some other movies. He made a movie not too long ago called Taxi. So he's managing to make movies and he's managing to get them out into film festivals. But now his son has become a filmmaker, Pana Panahi, and he turns out to have a really lot of talent. Hit the Road is his first movie, but it's really, really good. So here's what Hit the Road is about. We begin right in the middle of something or other that's going on. There is a family, a small family unit, who are traveling across the Iranian countryside in their car, and it actually turns out to be a borrowed car. And we have the father, the mother, the older brother, and the younger brother, and the dog. And that's basically all that they're known by. Their names are not made much of in this movie. So where are they going and why are they going there? Well, we find that out as the movie unfolds. I want to say right now that from the very beginning of this movie, one of these four actors, the mom, the dad, the big brother, and the little brother, one of them really dominates this film and is the real star of the film, even though they're all just fine and there are other minor characters that come along the way. The little brother is just one of these child actors who just seems to have been born to act in movies. And one hopes that he will continue acting in movies for the rest of his life, because he has a real, real, real talent. He's really good. He's fun to watch. He's feisty. He's badly behaved, but he's also well-behaved. And anyway, he really is the most entertaining point of the movie. But as time goes by and we see them moving along farther in their car and they stop now and again and they interact with other people, we realize that something is going on here. It's not just a little family outing. And I'm not going to say too much about this, but we discover well along into the movie that the whole point of this excursion in the car is that Big Brother is getting out of the country. And he's, of course, not allowed to get out of the country. This is Iran, and he's not supposed to leave the country. So he's going to have to sneak out. And some of the people who the family interact with along the way are people who are going to help arrange this. So, and this all remains a bit mysterious, but then again, since this is Iran in the present day, it's probably not so mysterious. In any case, that turns out to be what's going on. And as the movie goes along, again, it starts in a very antic way, especially because Little Brother is such a feisty character. But as it goes along, it begins to get sort of darker, and near the end, it gets almost dreamlike at certain points, which is really, really an interesting move on the part of the filmmaker. So it's a very unusual film. It's a real art film. It does not have a tightly woven plot. It doesn't have a lot of action, but it just holds you engrossed just all the time. I've seen it more than once. I saw it quite a while ago. I just was finished last year, and then I just recently saw it again up at the White River Junction Indie Films Festival in Vermont, where I was just participating in this year's edition of the festival, and it was very well received there, and it's a wonderful movie, and it's also playing in a movie theater right down the street from where I live. So it's available. It's out there, and it's well worth seeking out. I really do recommend Hit the Road. It's not a great masterpiece. It's not as great as Jafar Panahi's greatest films, but it really introduces Panah Panahi as a very, very talented filmmaker, and it's just a tremendously entertaining and political movie. Our second film today, Jill, is called Montana Story, and this is made by the team of Scott McGee and David Siegel. And they've made films before. They like to work together. And as you may have guessed, because I know you pay close attention, Montana Story takes place in Montana. And yes, we really do have that big sky and the mountains and the various kinds of Montana landscape in the background and even in the foreground through a great deal of the movie. But this is not a movie about the landscape. It's very much a movie about characters. So what we have here is most of the movie takes place on this spread, which is owned by this family. The mother, we find out, had died a couple of years earlier, the woman of the family. The father has recently had a devastating stroke, and he will never regain consciousness. He is in a coma, and all we really know about him is that he's one of these characters who is just lying in bed, unable to speak, move, or even open his eyes throughout the entire movie. And we see him fairly frequently in the movie, usually when other people are in the room and talking and giving us something to listen to. In any case, he is a very, very, he's in a very unfortunate condition. So, what's going on here? Well, the two youngsters of the family, whose names are Cal and Aaron, return to the family spread to just take care of details. He probably won't live much longer, the old father. And there are just all kinds of things that have to be taken care of. What are they going to do with the ranch when he dies? He, by the way, was a lawyer. He was not really a rancher. But what are they going to do with the family property when he dies? And various little dilemmas come up. And so we have these two. They're a young man and young woman, Cal and Aaron, who are trying to work these things out, even as they have their own conflicts and disagreements about various things. For example, there is a horse. A lovely horse, a beautiful looking horse, which has been in the family for 25 years. That's how old it is. And Cal just figures it's just going to have to be, as we used to say when I was a kid, put to sleep. There's not going to be anybody to take care of this poor horse soon. Maybe that's what we have to do. Well, when Erin shows up, the young woman of the family, she's a little older than Cal. They're both young adults. She is very upset by this. She loves this horse. She is not going to have this horse be put to sleep. So that's one conflict that comes up between them. Then there's another character in the movie who's very important. There's more than one other character, but one is really important. And he's a guy named Ace, and he is an immigrant from Africa. And he is he's a nurse, and he is looking after the old man who is in his coma. So he's a very important character. He's actually from Kenya, and now he's living with his family and taking care of the old man. So we have all these interactions among these various characters. We have the interactions between Aaron and Cal, the young adults of the family. We have them wondering what to do, having little disputes about what to do. And then we have Ace, who is the name of the African nurse, who is a wonderful guy, and he's just doing such a wonderful job of looking after the old man, even though the old man is completely unaware of this. And he's just sort of helping the family smooth over some little disputes they have. And there's a few other minor characters who show up in the movie, too. Now, the main thing to know about Montana's Story is that it is a warm and intense human drama, but it moves very slowly. To me, this is, as they say nowadays, a feature, not a bug. It's a lovely, movie that takes its time to develop. It never rushes the story. It never rushes the characters. It gives us information about the backstory of the action little by little as the movie proceeds, until eventually we know pretty much everything we know to understand where these people are at and why they're the way they are and why they're having these particular kinds of conflicts. And I will mention right now that it turns out that the father, who again never utters a word in the entire film, was a very abusive fellow in his time. A smart enough guy, a lawyer, had this lovely ranch that he set up and all of that, but he apparently was a pretty bad guy as a lawyer too, and he really, really abused the young people of the family, especially Erin, the daughter. So that becomes a very important part of the backstory. And in fact, at the beginning of the film, Cal and Erin haven't seen each other for years because she left. She took off for distant parts because she couldn't stand being anywhere near her father, and now she's only come back against her own better judgment to see him one time before he finally dies. So that's what Montana's Story is about. Yes, it's a somber film. It's a serious film. It is not a happy film, although it has little bits of sunlight in it now and then. But it's a very, very warm, believable, and beautifully acted human drama. Hayley Lou Richardson plays Erin, Owen Teague plays Cal, Gilbert Ure plays Ace, and they are all just excellent, and it's a movie that really takes you in and holds you. It's about 2 hours long. I think if it were another 10 minutes longer, that would be too much. But if you want to see a good, warm, introspective, very sincere, and very beautifully wrought human drama, then Montana Story is for you. And our final film today, Jill, as I often say, now for something completely different, we have what seems to be the horror film of the week. There are so many horror movies that come out, and I comment on this frequently. And one of the reasons is that the young demographic is driving a lot of what's being made and released in the movies nowadays. And young people tend to like horror movies. Anyway, that's one of the reasons. And also, horror movies are a genre that goes back to the very earliest days of cinema, and long before that in other art forms. But we do seem to have at least one horror movie almost every week, and this is the latest one. So it is directed by Adrian Shergold, who wrote the screenplay also with the actor who plays the main role. Her name is Antonia Campbell Hughes, and she actually plays two roles because the main characters of this movie are identical twin sisters. I shouldn't say that. That's not true. One of the main characters is an identical twin sister, and her identical twin kind of vanishes from the story fairly early on, and we have the remaining twin, whose name is Cordelia. She's the title character of the movie. And then the other really main character is a young man she meets named Frank. And here's the deal. They live in an apartment house, and Frank is a cellist, and he practices his cello all the time, and she hears him practicing, and it doesn't bother her. She rather likes it, in fact. But when her sister goes away, this leaves Cordelia at home alone, and she gets to know Frank, her neighbor who plays the cello. Now, very important, and this is revealed very early in the film, Cordelia, our main character, has recently been through, well, not that recently, a few years ago, a very horrible traumatic experience. She was caught in the middle of a horrible disaster in the subway, apparently a subway bombing. This is in London, by the way. It's led a little bit vague, but apparently she managed to survive this horrific subway bombing a few years earlier. So she is a traumatized young woman. And here she is now alone in her apartment because her twin sister, who looks after her, has gone away for a while. And she meets this young man downstairs. And is he a nice young man? Is he a sinister young man? Is he a weird young man? Is he a threatening young man? What kind of a young man is this guy? That is what a lot of the mystery of the film hinges on. Sometimes he acts like the nicest guy in the world, very, very helpful, always got a nice word. Other times he acts just a little bit weird, and we begin to get just a little bit afraid of him. And there he is, sometimes going down there and playing his cello, and then we start to wonder at some point, is he really playing the cello down there, or is this some sort of a trick that's being pulled on Cordelia? I also want to mention, by the way, that there is a very major British actor, Michael Gambon, in the movie and gets very prominent billing at the beginning. He's barely in it. He has a few lines. The real stars of this movie are Antonia Campbell Hughes as both of the sisters and Johnny Flynn as Frank. So that is what the movie is about. It has some nice cello music in it. It has some pretty scary scenes in it. It has a whole lot of mystery in it. And I'm afraid, like a lot of today's horror movies, the filmmaker, Adrian Shergold, just didn't know how to end it. So it doesn't exactly wrap up in a satisfying way. It just sort of stops. That happens. Nowadays, it seems to be very fashionable for horror movies to have either extremely enigmatic endings where we have to figure it out and maybe it's not even possible to figure out, or they just sort of stop dead in their tracks, and that's what Cordelia does. And I think that's a fault of a lot of these modern-day horror movies. That said, in all other respects, I found Cordelia to be a very effective, spooky, creepy movie in all the best ways. It reminded me of some movies from years past, particularly Roman Polanski's early film, Repulsion, which is also about a woman who may be going totally insane alone in an apartment. Of course, here, our main character is not alone. She has Frank, but then again, she might be better off if she were alone. That's something we have to figure out as the movie proceeds. So it's a good horror movie, not a great horror movie. Is horror what you're after? Then you just might have a nice time visiting Cordelia. And that is my jumping all over the place story this week, Jill.
But you did such a good job, and we thank you so much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Hit the Road, Montana Story, and Cordelia.